wrapped in mystery. We need to write. We need to do a music for him.
Music
like
for Freight
theme song.
Like a.
Is that the James Bond theme song?
Yeah, but you know, just
like a.
What would be a good
more hippity version?
What would be a good Freight song?
A good Freight song.
Like a
Jaws?
Train song, like a Johnny Cash.
Like a
train. What's a good train song? Mm. Hear that whistle blowing down the San Antone. Dung digga dung digga dung digga dung digga dung digga dung 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 dung. I hear the train a coming. It's coming round the bend.
Oh my gosh! Now he's getting something to drink. I told you he takes forever to do things.
Okay. You want to put this on, brother?
Goodness alive! Yeah, we're at 4.5 minutes.
Really?
My friend.
We're not using any of this.
We've been recording for 4.5 minutes.
I'm already exhausted.
What's up with the cheese sticks? We haven't had cheese sticks in 3 weeks on the bus.
Wow.
This is an outrage.
Your move,
but I look in there and you have sliced cheese, which who eats that? Doesn't
there's cheese sticks in
there. Can you move your
okay,
mic closer
we got,
to your face?
There's
please.
Cheese sticks in there? There are?
You look frustrated. Yep. Are you mad?
He just woke up.
You look angry. Well, I said, can you move your mic closer to your face? And you're like, you did one of those.
So there are cheese sticks in there.
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because there's those cheese cubes.
Yes.
Those are good.
Which
sharp cheddar cheese cubes.
I think there's cheese sticks in it.
What's do you have a preference on a stick or cube?
Cubes. Who eats cubes? It's like
I eat cubes. I just
it's
ate
it's like
them.
Cheese dice. That's what they remind me
They're
of.
Good.
It's like cheese blocks. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Cheese
you
sticks.
Rolled a zero
or bite-sized
again.
Cheese blocks.
Yeah, but it's just string cheese is the way to go.
Okay, I was just asking. You don't have to get all worked up about
I'm not worked up about it. I'm just saying, it's just, I guess I was getting a little spoiled, maybe.
Spoiled rich kid.
But see, we've gotten the sliced watermelon. That's been the latest things, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And you get three for the 3 days that we're gone, which is a good.
And yeah, we nice. Got two this time.
What happened to your leg, Jason? He's got a big gash on his leg.
Oh, worked the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like one of those Rambo things that you have to like put gunpowder in,
yeah,
and light
it
on
up
fire.
He
keeps
seeing,
and then he does that. He pulls it apart.
Yeah, pull it apart. Let's see.
Don't
it.
Do that.
Make it tall.
No. Stop.
He's got like a, I put like a needle and thread together.
Like Rambo.
Yeah, just do together.
Yeah, don't do that.
Hey.
Chicks dig scars. Nobody gets scars anymore.
You're a married man, Jason. Watch it.
Yeah. Do you think chicks really dig scars?
I think it depends.
I don't think so.
Not where like the a scar big is. Facial scar going across.
Just across. Just the diagonal from your left like, eye down to your right cheek.
Who's the new guy?
You really think so? Tweet us. If you're a woman, tweet us. Okay, I wanted to bring this up.
All
so
right.
You remember.
Let's not mess around anymore.
5 or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When I just made a small comment about I felt generally females don't like Monty Python, we are still to this day having women tweeted us, like some pretty angry that I would assume that they wouldn't
Let
like Monty
Python.
Let me
tell you who got in trouble over it. Me, my wife. She was like, you didn't even defend me. Like I was supposed to say something. Mm-hmm. Like, my wife loves Monty Python.
Apparently they're really passionate about it.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
she's, but I think it does. It's okay to say something is not, it's like a, it's rare.
I would still say generally females don't like it
as much.
As much.
Why not?
As men.
Why do you think they
because
don't?
Because it's absurd.
It's absurd. It's like
and
physical
most,
comedy. And,
any woman that I know, that wasn't going to make sense.
Yeah.
I've talked about Monty Python with girls that I know and they've all been like, that's the stupidest movie that I've ever seen.
No.
Let me say that women like British things to be foppish and very like regal, like Downton Abbey or like a medieval.
Like Hollywood.
My wife loves medieval. She's obsessed with medieval times, which I find hilarious because like it's like chivalry of it all, I guess.
And, yes, the knights in shining
but
armor.
But I was like, you would not laugh. You would love medieval times until you had to go to the bathroom or the dentist.
I think that like
exactly.
Hollywood
or
Hollywood
wipe with
Britain.
A leaf.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you got to go in a bucket and
have
then
a toothache.
Like, yeah, you
if you're
toothache,
fortunate,
they put leeches on your face for some reason.
Yeah, but they do. I think they like. I think more women probably like the Sense and Sensibility, the Jane Eyre kind of movies.
And I do too. I mean, like I like
foppish,
a lot.
Quiet British guy.
To be honest, anything English, it's a good chance I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
Anything. That's why Irish stuff does so well on PBS. It's been like, they're doing Irish, the river dance. And
Irish.
Here comes the Irish tenors and 12 Irish tenors. Oh, the Americans will love that. Anything Irish.
I Celtic think. Women. You know?
Yeah.
Celtic. Isn't it woman? Just Celtic woman. Is it Celtic women?
Celtic women.
There's Celtic more women. Than one now.
There's like six of them, or I don't know.
Plural. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's Celtic women. They play basketball and sing.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
So
they shoot free throws while they sing about Danny Boy.
So when we were in the UK, I made a couple friends over there, and we were talking about accents, and I kept trying to do their accent the whole week.
Yeah.
And by the end, they said I did pretty well. But at first, they said I was speaking the Queen's English, and that's what all Americans do when they try to speak.
Yes.
Through the nose. And they said that's because that's what's presented to us in Hollywood. Like, what's presented to us in America is not, that's not most of
the
UK.
Normal dialect.
Yeah. So we picture, like, the teacups and, like you said, the very proper, like, what's proper, the word you use for it?
So Downton Abbey was
foppish.
Yes,
like Queen's Hugh Grant. English.
Can't finish the sentence like, oh,
like a butler.
Exactly. No, like that. It's more the Queen's English. The Queen's English is more on the nose. It's like this. Yes, so much. And I made some tea. And we have some friends up in the Lake District.
And they have some
crumpets. Almost like
Catherine and, you know, Catherine and John.
Yeah.
Jonathan. Will's that he's on his gap year. And he's having a wonderful time. You know, just down by the beach on holiday.
Are those your friends from the Lake District that we hung out with?
But you know what? Here's one thing I'll say. I think that when you hear British people talking American accents, they'll always do New Yorker.
Yeah
New York, yeah, you're from America, everything.
That's the caricature, yeah.
Yeah. Because Brits are dumb. Yes, and there are a lot of cool, you know, English accents that... you know, even when we were just in Bath, England, there was a ton of different, a lot of Jamaican kind of. That wasn't the one guy we met kind of Jamaican. Yeah, man, he's from Manchester. But yeah, that's hey, man, what are you doing, man? Hey, yeah, to a football. Hey, go to the game, have a match on the pitch. You know, go for it, man. And it was almost like they're like, you know, a Jamaican. You know, I'm sort of Jamaican and.
Okay,
I love that. I think if I didn't do comedy, I'd be in linguistics.
Linguini?
Study of languages. Now you said you're talking about the Chinese thing.
So Tim, this is the thing about Tim that I love. I've been traveling with you for almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
So you like are always like you get into something, or I'll see you reading some book, and it's like I love that though. You're always trying to learn things. So I walk in the back of the bus one day, and I walk by your bed, and your curtain was zipped. But I hear kikau kikau boo, kikau tipaku, kikau kikau kikau, and I opened it up, and you had the headphones on, and you looked over, you're like, hey man, and then you close it back, kikau kikau. And I was like, all right, I don't even, what's going on? So I asked Frank. He was like, yeah, Tim's learning Mandarin. And I was
poor
like,
Frank.
I was like, why in the world? What's he going to do with that? And I just kind of thought it was funny, but like, whatever, you know, occupies your time. You were learning the harmonica that week, too. Like, that was when you just started playing harmonica.
Yeah.
So if you weren't like bending notes for hours on end in that back lounge, you're like, kinka, kinka, kow. And so, cut to that weekend, we're at, like, Whataburger after the show. Normally, we don't stop somewhere really close because it's likely to have huge youth groups full of kids. And it's like, you know, you get mobbed again.
Right.
But we did that night, and we were, like, 10 minutes away from the venue. We go into Whataburger in Texas somewhere, and there was, like, we're talking, and then you came in. And then one of the families there goes, oh, we're big fans of yours. And he goes, we're actually missionaries to Laos. And you go, really? Really aren't? Don't they speak Mandarin? He goes, yeah, we do. And you go, kinkau, pinkau. You started talking to him, and he talked back to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, of course they speak Mandarin.
Right. We're speaking Mandarin at a Whataburger.
At a Whataburger in Texas.
In Texas.
We're ready for that moment.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
But what did you say to the guy?
I said, you know, I'll just tell him, it just means I speak a little Chinese, and I say, you know, what is your name? What's another one? Washang Yar Ibe Picho, which means give me my pig. I need. Give me my pig. No, that means I want a glass of something.
I was blown away. That's a quintessential yeah. Tim Hawkins story. Well, people that don't know you.
I don't know. I feel like you lived this long and I don't know another language. Yeah. And I have some time on the bus, some downtime. And just on my phone, I got Pimsleur language.
Yeah.
And actually, Jason's, you know, my father-in-law, Ralph, he got me interested in languages and learned different languages because he knew like four or five.
Yeah.
Just Italian, Spanish, and stuff. And Chinese just seems interesting. Plus, well, is it too far? Plus, I mean, that's the most spoken language in the world.
Yeah.
Mandarin.
Right.
Of course, 1 billion of those people are in abject poverty, and I don't know.
Right.
Why I just
now
said
you can
that?
Talk to them on
the phone. Maybe you could say something to them to encourage them. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Maybe that's what it's for. I don't know.
We're gonna have to start translating the podcast into Mandarin.
Huge Mandarin fan base builds up.
When we get done with this, can I just have you do like an edit of you just talking over everything that everyone's saying in Mandarin? Uh-huh. You can just do translation. Yeah.
Well, if I say you are my friend, I say Nin Shi Wa Da Pang Yo. Ni Shi Wa Da Pang Yo. You're my friend.
That's very nice, Tim.
And ni bu shi wa da bang yo, you're not my friend.
Oh.
So don't cross me.
Don't cross me because I'll.
All right, you ain't being my pangyo anymore, baby.
Pangyo almost sounds a little Spanish. It's got a little.
Pangyo.
Yeah, that's what I'm. It sounds Hispanic. Yeah.
My favorite part of you learning that language was when you were trying to be quiet late at night. And it turned into a whisper. And so through your bunk, it'd be like, or if you're in like a room
that's
full
weird.
Of people,
and everyone's like a ninja. He's having like a death pledge or death vow.
He would lay on the couch there.
Kill Kato, maybe. Kill Kato.
And him going,
but and that's the thing that like Freight has to put, these guys have to put up with on the bus, because every week I'm trying something new, whether it's a new diet or a new thing I'm doing. When I was doing 30 bananas a day one time, so I just brought these huge boxes.
I remember like a year ago, you had Levi and one of your other kids on the bus.
Yeah.
And they kept trying to offer you food after 8 because you had this deal that you weren't going to eat after 8 o'clock. And if they caught you eating after 8 o'clock, you'd give them $100. So you're like, hey, Dad, you want one of these cheese sandwiches? You were like, stop it.
Yeah.
Like they would try to trick you into eating food. It'd be 8:01. They would start bringing food around you.
Well, I get so famished. I mean, after a show, I don't know if you would deal with the same thing. Yeah. I just get so hungry.
Yeah.
And then we have these chocolate covered almonds up there right now, and I just can't. Oh, they're just they're in the fridge. I like cold candy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you don't like them?
Oh, it's so good.
It's good
stuff.
I'll eat
the whole thing.
Yeah, we have these Lorna Doone shortbread cookies up there. I didn't even know we had those.
We just bought those. Jason said that would be good for Lucas.
Hey, we got Jason the a bus. I think we have a little story.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Yeah,
give off
the
handoff.
Yeah. The mic there.
Welcome to the show, Jason. Bus driver Jason.
Finally did it.
Jason!
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, I can't believe this has happened.
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing. Just hanging out, I guess.
Now, just everybody know, Jason is my brother-in-law. That's Heather's brother, and he is our bus driver. How long have you been driving the bus, man?
Almost 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
Might be 3 years, Thanksgiving-ish.
Yeah, wow. You got hired right before me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I just chased him. I just followed him right on the bus.
He's got this thing for me.
I really do.
Yeah, Caleb goes right up front. He sits up and he's just, noogie. His legs swinging, talking to Jason.
I like it. It's kind of cool. Buddies. It's like, what kind of mentoring is going on up there in the front?
I'm mentoring him. I give him life advice.
That's true.
When him and his wife get in little arguments, I just give him advice. And
I'm sure you have great advice, Caleb.
Great marriage advice.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you should just, you know... Maybe listen. I think women like listening.
It really does sound like something.
Can I have your phone?
Like,
let me have your phone. Let me see the last emojis you used.
Right.
It's like a naive.
Yeah,
millennial.
I mean, I know that women. I know two things about women. They don't like Monty Python, and they like it when you listen. I think. I don't know. I think.
We listen to podcasts up there, and we have a good time. He's introduced me to a couple that I listen to now, and. Yeah. He actually got me into podcasts. I didn't listen to any podcasts before.
Now, what are you guys' favorite podcasts you're listening to?
I like Dan Patrick. There's a local one that I probably listen to the most, St. Louis one.
Yeah.
And then I listen to a lot of different stuff. I keep trying new ones, but they don't catch me right away.
Do you like
lately.
The Ben Shapiro one?
Yeah, I do like him.
We started listening to that
one. Yeah, I've listened to him a little bit.
Have you listened to Pete Holmes yet?
Yeah, I listened to you that one day up there with you. That was, he's pretty good. Sometimes he gets a little neurotic.
I am kind of annoyed by the laughing thing now.
Yeah, he's laughing when he...
You pointed that out, and I wasn't annoyed at first, and now that I listen back, I'm like, he laughs at everything.
Well, he never lets the guy finish a sentence, and then...
He doesn't interrupt.
It just kind of stops.
They did, but some of these guys, they do, like, three-hour podcasts.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's too much, don't you think?
I like him because if, like, Pete Holmes has a guest and all of his episodes are 2 hours, so by the time they get an hour and a half in, they don't have a choice but to, like, get real because they have nothing else to talk about. And so you really get to know, well, as much as you can, you really get to know somebody, you know, in those 2 hours, and I like that.
Yeah.
But
so, you just talk about whatever you got up front.
We listen a lot of podcasts, and
yeah. But you guys have gotten closer, you think?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Now, did you guys not really hang out or talk much at the family stuff before?
Actually, whenever I would see Caleb, he would look different every time, so I would never recognize him.
I can see that
forever. Really? Yeah. I'd always go, "Man, I know that kid." And he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And it's like, so I'd have to ask Lisa, "Like, who is that?"
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's
until
Caleb.
Right now.
You do that every time. But you would always have a different haircut.
Yeah, I did.
There was always something different about you.
Just going through many phases, I'm sure.
Are you still in your black phase going on today?
Yeah, I'm all black right now. Yeah.
Black socks. Yeah.
Jason calls this my black phase because I wear all black almost every day.
So, are you with the beard right now? It's pretty long. Are you going to keep it going?
Yeah, yeah. I might as well. I mean, it takes a while to grow it, so I don't. And winter's coming up. Mm-hmm. I thought about either shaving it off and starting to grow it for winter again, so that it's full by the time we're in December, or do I just keep it and just let it go like Viking style?
Yeah, anything Viking is always good.
I thought you were going to braid it like the guy we saw at the Mall of America.
I would love to do that. Yeah. I don't think it's long enough yet.
That was pretty manly. You should try that.
Cool. It was?
No.
Okay. Boy, I tell you what, but I do see some beards. I have beard envy when I see some dudes. Like, I'm like, dude.
Are you going to grow yours back for the winter?
I think so. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Should I just start now?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll do one more clean shave, and then I'm going to let it go.
Are you going to do, like, shave your little chinage that you got going on and grow it all together? Will you grow some
I saw
out?
A picture of myself when we saw everybody go to. Is it on the Potty Break, the train picture we took together?
Yes.
Go to @PottyBreak on Twitter and just check out the picture of us on the train. Some dude did some artwork for that, and it's great. But I look at my little beard. It's just like, ugh. It looks, ugh. I don't like it.
I saw an older photo of you. I think it was from last year when you had, like, your caterpillar stash, and it was thick.
Really?
It was up top. It was bold. I liked it.
Was it?
It was a very bold. I think it was when you were wearing that beanie that Aunt Heather made for you, the slouchy beanie.
Yeah.
That didn't really fit your head, but you wore it every day, so it looked...
I look like a bishop on a chess piece. Here's the thing. Heather made me... the first hat she made me was perfect, but she couldn't recreate it. So every time she would make it, my head would just look like,
kind of like one of the
guys in the Inquisition, one of the guys that they would torture people in the Spanish Inquisition. I've got that one, I think, here.
That's hilarious.
But my head, it goes up like a bishop's head. Now, before I forget, Jason, something happened at the hotel that we were at. We're in.
You mean the
Ritz? First of all, your existence is very interesting to me because it's a weird life. Like, he's up when we're sleeping, and then during the show, he has to go rest so that he can be awake all night. Yeah. It's weird. This runs a little different because it's only an hour or two between events.
Yeah.
But it's, like, weird. So you have to, like, be in this whole zone. So it's very important the room is ready and you can go to sleep.
Yeah. So, like I said, we were at the Ritz last night.
Ritz.
What was it called?
In Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Something House.
What was it called?
The Guest House Inn.
Guest House Inn.
Yeah, it was not.
So, a guest house would have been better.
Yeah,
a legitimate guest house would have been a better scenario.
We stayed there a couple of years ago, and I swore it was a lot nicer, but, I mean, not much.
We call it the Air Biscuit B&B. Smells like an air biscuit. Yeah, it's like a lot of the, I don't want to say this, but, you know, the hotel has that kind of that musty smell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
well, we were walking
like
up
your
the
grandma's
stairs,
closet kind of smell.
Because there's no elevator, so we were walking up the stairs, and there's just dirt everywhere on the stairs.
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm coming, you know, just looking around thinking, this is not what it was like last time.
Nothing but the best on the Hawkins tour.
That's true.
Well, there's not a lot to choose from.
That might have been
that part of Fort Smith.
Well, so I got to the room, and I did my key thing. And
what time was it?
You know, I think it was probably around 2:30, 3 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
There, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere around there. So, you know, did my key thing, opened the door, and all of a sudden I see a guy standing there who looked like he'd a little startled. So I'm kind of, oh, sorry, I guess I have the wrong room. No, you're fine. This is your room. So I just kind of had it, you know, it's like, okay. So, well, it was the maintenance guy.
Right.
I guess he was fixing the toilet.
Right.
But the only thing is he was laying in the bed. So he's like, I'm just in here fixing the toilet. And I'm like, all right, but I swear
I saw. Right. I think you're sleeping.
That's how I fix my toilet at home. I lay on the bed.
So you could just tell he was in a panic, and it wasn't draining, and blood, you know, and just kind of went through a whole thing.
That's so great.
But the whole time I'm looking at the bed going, well, that pillow's all messed up.
So it's like Goldilocks.
So I kind of looking at Lucas, who's, you know, with me, and he's like, was he sleeping in that bed? And we're like, I think so.
Yeah.
So he had his Dr. Pepper sitting there, and
oh my gosh, he just set up shop.
And that's so amazing.
I don't think did he have any tools, Lucas? I don't think I saw any tools.
Yeah, he had tools.
Did he have tools? Okay,
sure, he had some tools. Was he sleeping? Was his tool just his tool chest on his stomach when he was laying on his back?
He could jump up and
oh yeah.
Well, we never actually saw him laying in the bed. We just saw him kind of jump up. And then when you're looking at the bed, you're kind of looking at Lucas, looking at the bed, looking. Like, I think he was sleeping in the bed.
That's yeah.
So
wait, I think we're getting a phone call.
Oh yeah,
I think it's the guy.
Do we have?
Is it the maintenance guy?
I think he's on.
Hello,
line.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so tell me. Hey. So you were sleeping in the bed. Is that something you normally do?
You know, I don't. You know. I hear what you're saying about it, but it's a totally different chain of events that happened. What I just need to set you straight. I've been working at the guest inn for a long time. Okay,
right.
I work long hours, and it's I didn't want to go here, but. When Jason walked in, I was just contemplating stuff. You know, I was getting there's someone had clogged up the dang toilet. I don't know what it is.
You started like thinking about the meaning of life.
Well, it's just when I was going out, I just thought this is a metaphor for my life.
Right.
And it just overtook me, and I was like, so I just laid down a bit. I was just like, I just gotta, you know, because I've been doing this for a long time. It's just never hit me like that.
So what? So you're saying if Jason hadn't walked in, who knows what? Like,
well,
he might have saved your life.
If Jason hadn't walked in at that time, I don't know. I had a crescent wrench, and then a crescent wrench, and I, you know, doing a pipe thing, right?
Right.
And I just remember righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Right.
Lucy's the name of a girl that used to work down at the desk.
Yeah.
And I was doing lefty loosey, and I thought of Lucy.
Yeah.
And that just bust me up. I couldn't. I dropped the wrench.
That's totally understandable.
And I went and laid down. I was singing that song. It was a Kenny Rogers song, remember it?
Uh-huh.
And she believes in me. She never know what you see in me.
Yeah.
I just remember that song. That was a song we sang. We used to dance after her shift. And I did done fixing the toilets and the toilets. I got to go by.
Wow, that's an interesting.
Dang it.
Good to hear from him.
Oh, that was kind of a.
Oh, he left.
It was poignant
kind of
the way
abruptly.
You don't know what people are going through sometimes. You walk in, you're like, well, you interjected into his life, but it's like he had his own issues.
In and out. Clearly. I think so. So it's probably like Providence that you walked in at that time, Jason.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a mystery.
Yeah, that's good.
That's cool that he called in.
That is cool. That's it's odd that he called in like right as we were talking about it. Like he knew.
It's odd too that we taped the show. And we don't have a phone.
That it's pre-recorded, and we actually don't have a phone line.
No.
So that is super odd.
Getting in. This is great.
Jason,
mm-hmm.
How do you like your job?
I like it. Hey, like yours.
No pressure.
What's he going to say?
I was going to say not hated. Yeah. I liked it up until
hoping,
now.
I was hoping that's what you would say.
You know what got me thinking, though, about that guy laying down on the job? It's like, that's a perfect thing. Like, I'm going to go fix these. But he thought, well, they're not going to check in until later. It's a great time to goof off. Mm-hmm. Like, you've had a million other jobs.
Yes.
Like, what are some things that you used to do to, like, buy time for yourself? You took long, extra long breaks. If you do a job you don't like, I'm not good at jobs I don't like. I don't know about you. I'm not.
I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the job I had before I went full-time as a comic, it was at a place called McLean Food Distribution. They did distributed food for Taco Bell, KFC, that kind of thing. So we just basically worked with the trucks, and they would, you know, the big trucks that take the stuff to Taco Bell. It's like more shells and more cheese.
Right.
And I worked with nights, you know, as a deal where I worked nights with one other guy who was Rob Robitaille, who was Cletus on Cletus Take the Reel. And one of the things we did was, I actually recorded a lot of two albums at that job.
Really?
Because we would sit at night and we would just, you know, just take phone calls from the distribution centers if they ever had a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'd get maybe one or two calls a night on an 8-hour shift, 8 to 10-hour shift. So we're just sitting by the phone. We'd answer it, but we just brought in a recording equipment and just set up there. And the Tuna Fish Sandwich record was written there. And then Tim Hawkins, the purple one, I forget the name of that one. The one with My Arms Are Broken on it.
Oh, okay.
That CD, a lot of that was done. So we just did a lot of the drum work on this little Boss drum machine.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
We did that.
When I worked at a movie theater, I was projectionist. And so I would thread up all the movies, and they would all start, like, if you had a 3 o'clock show, it was like 3, 3:10, 3:30. If you had, even if it was a 10-plex.
Mm-hmm.
But they all would start. You'd be done by, like, 3:45. I'm done for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so I'd go to the mall. I'd fall asleep in my chair upstairs.
Yeah.
At my first job in a movie theater, the first one I took, I had brought in a TV. I had my acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great. I'd go over and get food at the mall, and then if one of the movies breaks, like, it was real film, so if something breaks, you're not there, it's like you're always taking that chance of, like, well, I'm going to go get some food.
Great thing about that, though. I've been in movies where the films broke or they weren't working, and it's like, well, I don't know how to get to the person to complain to.
Right.
And you got that big window up. Am I going to climb the wall?
That guy.
Or how do you even get up?
That guy's not there.
There's somebody in that window.
That's right.
That I need to get to.
But he's at Lids.
Every now and then you see
mall.
A little tiny eye looking down like, wait a minute.
He's at pretzel time.
All of that stuff is, you know, it's obsolete now because it's all digital.
Yeah.
And they just push a button.
So
it's
they don't have film.
From a computer.
They don't have
hardly
film?
Anybody does anymore.
Really?
Yeah. And so, like, a lot of those guys that made decent money, I didn't make good money, but, like, some of those guys that were old union guys, they made good money, and then everything's digital now, so they don't even need – they just program it on a computer, and they all start at certain times they program in. So
I mean, I would hope so in 2016. I would hope that have to crank it up at 7 p.m.
Some people really like
feed
that.
Feed it through.
You did, man. You threaded it through, and it was on a platter, like a big tabletop, and it thread from inside out. So the first reel would be in the middle, and they would go out all the way, so they've had 10 reels or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and they would be taped together on this plate like a tabletop. In the middle was this thing called a brain, and you fed it through. And the brain was like this little micro switch, and it would keep the platter spinning to keep it from tangling up. It would give just the right amount of slack, and the platter would spin. Well, sometimes that micro switch would fail, and it would just start wrapping around and around and around and build tension around the inside ring.
Mm-hmm.
That was called a brain wrap. And if that ever happened, you're just like, your whole day's done.
I had that. There was a vending guy who was selling brain wraps at there in El Paso. Remember that?
Yeah. Those are great.
Well, Johnny, if comedy doesn't work out, I mean, I'm sure some like hipster movie theater in Austin,
Let's
Texas
reel
would
reel.
Hire you.
Yeah.
See, that's, we watched films in school. Remember that? And always, who wants to be the AV guy?
Yeah,
I want to be the film. Yeah. I want to push the film thing in. And we'd do the film in. We had film strips. Remember film strips?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
It was fun, and it was a minimum wage job, and I was overpaid.
Yeah.
I did not. It was a.
So
was
the
a
only thing you did was
I would thread up the movies and start them. You just had to remember on time. You just have to remember to do it on time, and that was a challenge for me. I was like 18, 19 when I had that job. That's when I met my wife, actually, at that job. So
how romantic.
I taught her how to shovel popcorn, and it was love from then on.
Yeah. Shovel pop. Well, the big scoops.
Yeah, I came down.
I love those scoops.
Let me show you how to bag this. I got this girl.
Is that legit? Did you get? Is that the first time you guys met?
That's how I met her. I was training her to open a theater across town that they were building.
Here's what they need to train people to do that not everybody does. With the popcorn.
Yeah.
I want butter on my popcorn.
Right.
They put all the popcorn in the huge bag, and they just butter the top. By the time you get about 3 inches down.
Dry. Bone dry.
Bone dry. So I'm like, wait a second. Fill it up halfway, butter it, fill the rest.
I don't think you understand how fat I want to be.
That's right.
Well, at the AMC in St. Charles, you can butter your popcorn on your own. So they have like the two machines.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get they give you your popcorn, and then you go just do it yourself. So you don't have to rely on the buffoons behind the counter.
Well, you didn't have to call them buffoons.
I am frustrated though when I pay $10 for popcorn and they don't butter it correctly. Don't act like I'm the only one in here that.
How do you make it at home?
I don't really, but I typically get like the extra butter from like Walmart. And just, but if my mom's making it, she does like the real like whirly pop thing.
Right. My favorite advancement in microwave popcorn was when they came out with movie theater butter popcorn. It was like movie theater butter.
Yeah.
And because everybody that's ever worked in a movie theater knows that it's not butter. It's called partially hydrogenated soybean oil.
Oh,
it's literally just oil that you're putting on. So when people saw movie theater butter, it's that real butter. No, it's horrible.
But it's delicious,
it's
though.
It's orange. It's not even.
It's so good.
It's not even yellow.
It's so good.
It is good.
What's in it? You know,
it's just oil. It's soybean oil.
That's got to be horrible for you.
Really bad for
you. Addicting.
But I worked in movie theater for 3 years, man. It was a.
Can you imagine the guys that just the slimy guys that work at the soybean oil factory?
Hey, man, we got a case of oil coming in. Got two orders going out to the AMC. The kids are gonna be eating and loving it.
It was these huge drums, these 5 gallon drums. You had to like crank each lip of the thing open and pull this lid off, and then just be you didn't stir it. It's just it had a film that would. Like, that's what's going in there, man.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
But. Yeah. Olivia's been making that puppy chow. Have you had that?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
It's called puppy chow. You take, like, rice Chex,
and then you put
peanut butter.
Yeah, it's like peanut butter, chocolates.
And then you melt down chocolate chips. And then she puts it in a huge, like a hefty bag.
Oh, and you throw it across the room.
She shakes that bag.
Yeah, we've had that before. We call it white trash. That's what we've called it, white trash. White trash, because you put the powdered sugar in there and it sticks to the top.
Yeah.
You don't do powdered sugar, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, powdered sugar.
That's what we call it, white trash.
It's the difference between Johnny and Tim. Yeah. Puppy chow and white trash.
White trash.
Well, I'm from Tennessee, so.
It's kind of like soda. We call it pop.
Mount Juliet.
We call it white trash.
We call it a soft drink.
Yeah.
We call it rat feed.
I don't typically like chocolate, but I actually like puppy chow. Mm. If there's enough powdered sugar in it, I'll eat it.
Right.
Is there a such thing as non-chocolate puppy chow? Mm. Like just peanut butter puppy chow?
Because
that would be money. I would destroy like some Nutella? Peanut butter puppy chow. Never had it.
You've never had Nutella?
No.
Don't we have some up here?
It's
like hazelnut, chocolatey. It's really good.
People are crazy for it. Like they develop a fixation on it. They love
Tim,
it.
Tim fit it into one of his songs.
He'll put it on veggies.
That's how crazy people are.
Nutella is it makes everything wonderful. It's like M&M's.
Yeah.
Makes it delicious.
Well,
yeah, we were talking about hot sauce this last week after the show. I just thought that was interesting that
that's the old hot sauce store on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to go in there whenever everybody would come to St. Louis for holidays.
Yeah.
And I remember they had like some of them were called like hot as hell or something like that. And I remember when we were little, we would walk by that and be like,
there's hell on the label.
Yeah.
There's hells.
There's always the A word in here.
Yeah.
And I remember one year.
Donkey kicking.
Yeah.
Kick your butt sauce.
Yeah. Aunt Jill made a big pot of chili. Did I tell a story last week?
Oh, Lord.
Or was this off the podcast?
No. I don't think you told it.
We're always like hanging outside of the podcast and telling stories. So I don't remember what was on the podcast and what wasn't. But she made this big pot of chili, and there's, 12 growing boys and, 12 adults. And there's a lot of people. And we bought like the 11th hottest hot sauce from this store that's like dangerous. And you got to like sign a waiver.
Yeah, you have to sign paperwork. They have it in a glass case, like when,
Yeah.
buying,
And so she took, she like dipped a toothpick or took one drop and put it in the entire pot of chili. And everyone was eating pieces of white bread while they were eating the chili because it was so hot they couldn't even handle it. One drop in the entire pot of chili.
Yeah, I don't like that. People that like, it's like a chore to finish your food. It shouldn't be that. It's food. You should enjoy your food.
Yeah, Jason, what do you think about hot sauce, buddy?
I'm a big hot sauce fan.
Really?
Yeah. I usually put it on.
Like the heat?
Yes. Yeah. The problem is, Lisa, who cooks, my wife, she's more on the bland side.
Yeah.
So I just have all types of.
How about the cooking?
Oh, she's a great cook.
She's amazing. Every time we go to their house.
Say the right thing, Jason.
It's a feast.
No, I'm not going to screw that up.
No, she's good.
She's great at pies.
Yeah.
Everything. Just whatever.
Key lime. That's her specialty. Well,
that is not what she wants to be known for. That's just what we like.
What does she want to be known for?
I don't know, but she gets tired of the key lime because that's what we always want.
She on her deathbed.
Hey, don't, please, Jason.
See, on my deathbed,
don't let him remember me as the key lime lady. Whatever you do.
She's suddenly a Subway.
I'm fried chicken woman. You don't repeat it.
No, she's been instructed on my deathbed to feed me key lime pie. When it doesn't matter anymore, that's all I'm going to eat.
Really? Yeah, just going to feed key lime pie.
Like throw some blend it up and it gets really bad through a straw.
Well, she makes
put it in an IV.
She makes homemade chocolate or like Reese's peanut butter cups. Have you ever had those when she makes those?
Homemade.
Is that now
cups.
Those? Is that where it has the layer of peanut butter with the layer of chocolate?
It's
or
a
the
layer
actual...
of chocolate, then a layer of peanut butter, and then another layer of chocolate. Have you never had it when they make those?
Can you please have her just make one of those
I'd have
for
to
next
share
week?
With you,
we want it. I like that.
How thick is the chocolate on top?
It's about 3/8 inch top and bottom.
Oh,
that's the exact right thickness.
The whole
it
thing.
Is. If it was like 7/12, that's too much. But 3/8 7/12. You gotta have her make us something for next week.
I can't believe you've never had those. They don't make as many of those. I think
she had something when we were at the last shindig we had at your house a couple months ago.
Watch your language.
And, you know, we're playing volleyball.
Yeah.
And she made something. It had chocolate chips, white chocolate chips. It had, it was the richest.
No. What does she call that?
What was that called?
The dirt cake?
No, she's got a special name for it.
You have to find out.
Is that magic bars? Maybe that's it.
Magic. It was, but it had like peanut butter in it. It had. Three different kinds of chips, chocolate chips, white chocolate chips, something like that.
Lucas, you know.
It had caramel in it.
Just a touch of crack cocaine, so you know it's there.
Oh, yeah, she's very gifted.
Her pastry or her desserts are the best, but she's all the way, all around good.
Yeah.
She just doesn't like spicy food, so
just have to add. Had sprinkles on it and then like.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Dax Shepherd. I'm joined by Minister Mouse Monica Padman.
Hi there.
We have a really fun show we want you guys to join. We talk to celebrities and professors and lawyers and doctors and very smart, interesting people. And we find out how messy their lives have been, how many twists and turns it took to get to where they're at, and a general exploration on the messiness of being a human being. And of course, Monica's, you'll get updates about her
love
building
life.
Project, love life, you name it. So if you want to join us, please follow Armchair Expert to get new episodes every Monday and Thursday. Plus, find your other favorite podcasts free on Spotify.
It was like white and then black.
Where'd this kid come from?
Yeah. Get him out of here.
Good grief. That's Lucas, everybody. He's Jason.
The Artful Dodger.
He should know because by the time I get home from work, they're usually gone. So I never even get to try it.
Well, see, you guys, you know, you're, you know, Italian family, right? Your dad was Italian.
Yep.
So... You have probably had spicy food growing up.
Right.
Right. See, we didn't. I mean, Chris and I, Freight, we were very bland. I don't know about you. Yeah. You just bland that Midwestern
we
food.
That's the thing in the South. We don't season our food with spice. We season it with fat. So that's why.
Yeah.
At least it was a gravy.
And it soybean oil.
Yay.
Your salt shaker's full of soybean oil.
Right. Just a dab. Just enough.
That's
I follow these Twitter accounts, so they're like interesting facts, and I always like try to like read the odd ones, and then like I'll retweet them and put a snarky comment. And one said, last week it was about hot sauce, and it said, hot sauce can be sprinkled around your baseboards to keep roaches away. And I was like, who is doing that? And then I said, so I retweeted it and wrote above it, if no one's made the joke, La Cuca Sriracha. I'd like to go ahead and do that now.
I'm just going to put it out.
Just going to put it out there in case nobody's done it. La Cuca
if you don't
Sriracha.
Like it, you can send it right back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know hot sauce. I'm not a hot sauce guy.
Sriracha's fantastic.
Yep. That's a big hipstery thing, too, right? Everything's they want them on the That's table the with new. The ketchup. Ketchup and sriracha.
Oh, it's been around for a long time, though.
Yeah. There's actually a documentary on that. Have you seen that?
On sriracha?
On sriracha sauce.
When I'm really, really, really bored, I'll call you up and ask you for the title of that.
Thank you for that recommendation.
What's the most obscure documentary that you watched?
I
couldn't believe that you watched it and loved it.
Is it Sommeliers? It's like wine experts.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sommeliers.
Foods, sommeliers.
It's these guys
sommeliers.
Who are, there's four guys who are trying to be sommeliers.
Sommeliers.
And it's, you know, it's four guys, young guys trying to be a wine expert because when you get like certified as a sommelier, whatever, you get, you know, big jobs, make big money, and it's just very prestigious.
Yeah.
But it's like riding you have chef. To know, you have to know where everyone, when you taste wine, you're like, this is from the whatever region of France, the Bordeaux region, from this field.
Yeah.
By this hill.
Asian pear. I taste nutmeg.
Yes. I'm getting
Asian
some
pear
notes. I'm getting some bathroom rug notes or whatever.
Notes.
And some almond and some.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to a coffee shop.
Yes.
And you ask like I always ask the barista what, you know, what's your favorite coffee right now? Mm. And that's all I want to know. But then they go, oh, yeah, the Kenya is my favorite right now, and it's got this malty taste up front, and then it kind of smoothly transitions into slightly almond, almost like a 2% milk, but a little more of a skim. And then you'll go, and I'm just like, okay, get me that one, I guess.
Will it make me jittery?
Like, I mean, I know if coffee is what I like, like if it's good or bad, but I'm not good with notes. At all. Like, notes on the bag never make sense to me. Like, watermelon juice and, you know, blueberries. I don't ever taste that.
Well,
stuff.
What happens is that, like, with wine, I guess, you're getting stuff out of the earth. It's like, it's...
So everything planted oak. Next to it, it gets
yes,
kind of brought
like
in.
Like, oak and cherry wood and things like that. Mm-hmm. Different kinds of
yeah,
tobacco
like
notes, whatever it is. It gets in there, and they can taste that. So that's the most obscure. Because at the end of it, I was lumping my throat, just kind of...
Yeah.
Almost like this guy didn't make it. And I was like,
oh, he didn't make it.
He's not the sommelier.
He was so, he had index cards. He was studying his index cards all day.
It was fascinating.
He paired a Merlot with a hot dog. He had to know. He had to know that was going to cost him.
You can't do that.
French restaurants don't have hot dogs. That's German.
The weirdest one I watched that I couldn't believe I loved was somebody recommended it to me, and it was about Atari games for the Atari 2600, which you probably had. We grew up in the same kind of region.
Yeah.
That was the big game system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got a couple of games with it, which one of them was like combat with the tanks, and then Pac-Man came with it sometime. Mm-hmm. And there was a game they made. It was heralded as the worst game ever made for the Atari, and it was E.T.
Yes.
Okay,
great,
so there was a big rumor going on about what happened to the 2 million E.T. cartridges that they made that they could not sell.
Yes.
And the whole story about how they had to get it made in time for Black Friday, which you guys know all about, the big rush to get something out for the Christmas season. You guys have been through that crunch.
Yes.
Well, that's what happened with them. And so they just rushed this game to the stores, and it was garbage. And it was the dumbest game ever. Yeah. And it had all these weird levels that nobody understood. And the graphics were awful, of course, back then.
Yeah.
So the rumor was they had been buried in a landfill. And just
was it Nevada?
Somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, Nevada or Colorado. And so it's like this guy made it his quest to go find this landfill,
oh
and
my
he
gosh.
Hired a crew to dig down. And at the end of it, you said they find these like 200,000 ET cartridges.
Yeah.
And there's a group of people who have heard about
big,
it. There's an online forum, and there's all these
hundreds
people showed
people
up just to be there, and they're like dancing, and they're so excited.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's like, and I was like choked up for them. I'm like.
Yeah.
It was real. Like, I like urban legends, and when they turn out to be real,
right.
I was fascinated by it.
Yeah.
So, did these people actually like the game, or was it more about the quest to find
the
game?
It's about them, like, I think it was like, it's the
nostalgia.
Worst game.
It's the, it's just
it
for collectors.
Because,
and
it
just,
wasn't because they actually enjoyed the game and wanted it
right.
back.
No,
right.
No, no,
yeah.
I think they just wanted, the idea of a company being not just like this was a failure, but so ashamed of it that they would bury it underground.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And to think that there's a corporate head somewhere that did that And then he hid that fact. It's just, that's amazing.
And how many years later was this? 20? I mean, was it down there
for... that was in the 80s when they did the game.
So this was recent then?
Yeah.
They said, didn't they say it took down Atari? Did they say that was...
They said that was basically what was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So that was included in, what were the games? Guardian and Dig Dug and...
Yeah.
That was included in all those games?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was E.T., like, alien E.T.
Yeah.
A version of
from
that.
The movie. It was like they were trying to cash in on the success of the movie.
And it was, like, one guy who developed it on his
but
own.
He developed a bunch of other games that were good.
Yes. Yes.
Like Yar's Revenge and some other things that he had done that were big games.
So the people who knew what they were talking about were like, they're, you know, he was getting all the blame for this.
I
he shouldn't have.
I loved the idea that, like, the Atari guys were this, like, their own fraternity of we were the cool kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about the wild parties they would throw when they were trying to plan games. You're just like... The nerds, like, ran the roost back then, and they were making great money.
Right.
But then it was like, we got to get this out by Thanksgiving or we're all done. And so he just rushed it to market.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me that when I was thinking about your thing tonight, because I was announcing it before the show, that, like, you just filmed and you're already, everybody's working at the offices. They're working these 12-hour days to get it edited now.
Yeah.
Because you have that window to really maximize a new release. Like, I know how that goes, but for you, it's even bigger because you got people that are on your payroll. Like, what's that? What's the, do you feel any pressure or do you just go, look, I did my part? Like,
no, not at all. No, I feel it now that you said that.
Now I feel like a jerk. Wow. So thanks. They don't need to see their face.
So, like, for instance, like, Freight becomes homeless because.
Right. No,
Freight would live with me.
Freight would live.
We try to keep him in the dark.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, we haven't heard much from Freight right now. Freight, now you're a movie buff.
Now,
do you like docs? Documentaries?
Yeah,
nice docs.
Now we were talking about obscure documentaries.
Yes.
What do you can you think of any?
I've watched some that I probably don't remember because they were so obscure.
Yeah.
You know, they were so, like, why did I just waste my time watching that documentary?
I get sucked in, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched documentaries on, like, the like Yellowstone.
Oh, okay.
Or
nature stuff.
Ocean. Yeah.
History Channel kind of stuff.
But I love, like, History Channel stuff, like you know, any, like, I love the show Hell on Wheels. So the Intercontinental Railroad.
Watch your language, gosh. Give
right
you the
now,
mic.
What you're just talking about with Atari and stuff. Have you guys, any of you, seen the AMC show Halt and Catch Fire?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's about kind of the 80s, and a Cardiff Electric is a PC, a computer company, and they're building a PC, and so it's kind of that time frame, and that's what the show's about, and just kind of how it's progressed. It's like season 3 now or 4, and I'm really into it. But that's kind of, I kind of came up with the PC and stuff in my career, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But Halt and Catch Fire, it's like a code for a computer to basically shut down and wipe everything out.
Right.
I think this 80s nostalgia is so powerful. Like, did you see Stranger Things yet? I told you about it, right?
You did? I kind of write these things down.
Stranger
what is
Things,
it?
It's 8 episodes, and it's just, it's this, it's set in the 80s very clearly, and even the soundtrack is very synthy and odd, and it just, it's built and looks like an 80s buddy
Somebody
movie.
Somebody else
these
was
kids.
Telling me about that.
It's so good, and, like, it was described to me on Twitter as, by a friend of mine on Twitter, he said, it's a nostalgia tornado, and it really was. Like, I was so sucked into these characters. It was like, had a little bit of Stand By Me and the Goonies, and then you mix in, like, a little bit of a monster movie in, but not so scary that kids couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
So good.
Really well, perfectly done. Now that you said they have you seen this? It's an Indiana Jones documentary where these kids reshot Indiana Jones, the first movie. What was it called?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of, they reshot every scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark. With as they started as kids, but they finished it when they were adults. I mean, it took them years to do it.
Huh.
And they end up, I mean, they're just doing their backyard. They're setting fires in their garage to try to recreate the fire scenes and things like that. And almost burned down the house and all this. And it takes them years. And it's about these guys trying to do the last scene of the movie. Now, what they did was they had everything but the last scene where, you know, the guy gets in the propeller. He fights him and the bald guy gets hit by the plane propeller. But they show this movie at this what would you call it, like a Cannes Film Festival, like a film festival for indies. Yeah. And really, these guys are movie people. Hundreds of just real, they know movies, and they flipped out. They I just got standing ovations. People were just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Wow. These are like, but these kids who made it, they didn't know. So
that's great.
So they brought them in, and they were like superstars for doing this.
That's cool.
And it's Indiana Jones. I forget the name of it, but great documentary. Great.
Kib smirking at me because I touched my mic.
So last week I
touched my mic. So he's
your mic?
Smirking at me.
So he touched our... Wait, let everybody know what it sounds like when you touch your mic. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll leave that one in. I started cutting the podcast episodes, which I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago. And so our turnaround time is pretty quick. We get home, you know, we record these on the weekends. We get home on Mondays. By Tuesday evening, I have to have it sent off to Aaron in Dallas so that he can mix and master it and have it out by Thursday morning. So Tuesday morning is typically my time to do that because we get home on Mondays. So I'm in my office, and last week, Freight was like coughing and sniffing and like touching all over his mic. It was really bad. So it was taking me forever. And Freight opened the door to my office while I was working on all this. I was like, hey, come here for a second. And I just played him just 30 seconds, just soloed his mic. And he goes, oh, what is it? I was like, that's you wasting my time. And it was like the whole episode. It was like...
I'm keeping you gainfully employed is what I'm
that's
doing.
Beautiful.
Lots of that nonsense. So
well, I'm conscious here, of where my mic is. Like, is it right close to my mouth where it's supposed to be?
Yeah. Everybody, the mics that we're using, just to let you know, they're kind of like the mics you see drive-thru workers wear. Yeah. They have the earpiece, and then they have the...
Or
you
like a gamer playing Doom against a 13-year-old in Germany.
Exactly. we're basically have the Doom headpieces on.
Turtle Beach? Wasn't that what they were called? Turtle Beaches.
I'm coming for you, Hans.
Turtle Beaches.
I still have my Turtle Beaches.
You're crazy. You have never beat me. You are Turtle Beach. I will beat you.
I will crush you.
You have played the wrong person. I will show you why.
Are you guys fascinated by... what's the word? You talked about urban legends.
Yeah.
So documentaries about, what is the word?
Peanuts?
No. Yeah, that's the word.
I don't know. I'm just trying to help. Jeez, what's the word? That's like, what am I trying to think? What am I thinking? You ever hear somebody say that? What am I thinking? I don't know what you're thinking.
Okay, I got it. Conspiracy theories.
Oh, okay.
I'm fascinated by those. Right. So, like, did you guys see Loose Change?
No, 9/11. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be 2 hours of media life,
dude. Come on. You think that really? They're like, George Bush is a big idiot, but he's the one who masterminded 9/11.
I never said anything. Yeah. I never. All I said was, did you see it?
Yeah.
All I said was, did you see it?
You're making me mad right now.
I just feel like they're like, we know steel doesn't melt like that. It's like, yeah, they just pull it out of the ground with big beams. It's beams in the ground. There's steel is melted.
It is.
They melt steel and they form it into things. Steel doesn't melt, man. It's like, okay, sure.
Just take it the way it comes.
That's right. We just build buildings. It's I-beams in the ground.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't buy it.
I'm really interested in all of those kinds of things, like, you know, Hitler's still alive, like those documentaries about the intricacies of his death and how he didn't actually die and all that stuff. I love it.
There's a new one about the Pope. The Pope now is supposed to be a special numbered Pope. Like this Pope is supposed to be from a prophecy back hundreds of years ago.
Really?
Yes, that he is.
From the Bible or from Catholic writings?
It was like a Catholic, not a saint, but just one of the higher ups, a cardinal.
Well, what's weird
years
is
ago.
He's not even really supposed to be Pope, but the other guy stepped down, which is very rare. Like, it's only happened one other time.
Right.
He stepped down as Pope. Benedictine guy did. Pope. And so now we have Pope Benedictine, and so now we have this guy who's like the new, accessible, everybody loves him Pope, you know?
I know nothing about that world.
If I was Pope, I would be, my phrase would be keep Pope alive.
Absolutely. Keep Pope alive. There used to be a comedian who would do the best Pope bit ever. He would say, he goes, the Pope wears that pointy hat and people don't know what it's for. And it's because the Popes get hard questions. Like, what is the meaning of life? He says, pick a number. Like, what? Pick a number. I don't know. 4? Pick a color. I don't know. Red? Does the B-L-U-E. Takes off the hat. This big... Remember those things in school? Girls knew how to make those. I know.
That's I didn't know how to make them.
That was my in with talking to girls.
You know what were those things called?
No, but I was like, hey,
Sophie came home with one the other day.
See, that they learned it. Talk about it getting passed down like they're still doing it.
It's like origami, and then it's like...
It's like a riddle.
They say,
pick a number.
1, 2, 3, 4. And then pick a color. 1, 2, 3. And then you pull it up.
And then they go,
says,
you're stupid.
Yeah, you're yeah.
You're just right, idiot, on all of them. Right.
Don't you know people are like still like in their 30s? Like, I'm stupid, though. The thing said I was stupid.
That's right. That changed your whole trajectory
we
of your
life. We had the 8-ball. Remember the 8-ball, Chris?
Yeah.
You guys ever have the 8-ball? Magic 8-ball? You shake it.
You're not supposed to shake it, though, because it gets all... you know, bubbly inside if you shake it.
We used to take a straw like a Capri Sun and
how do you know that? Did you watch Magic 8 Ball documentary?
Magic 8 Ball documentary that I was fascinating. Yeah. He paired it with
wait
a corn
second.
Dog.
You know this?
He paired Magic 8 Ball juice with a corn dog. Yeah, he's best. He's top sommelier now.
That kind of worries me that you even actually know that.
I don't know, guys. Circle. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all.
Do you guys remember
you
those chocolate?
Write some comedy or something.
Man, those I'm chocolate sorry. Balls that they sold in the boxes in the...
Balls.
Yeah. And
what?
they had
is it called?
It was a hollow chocolate ball. Inside of it was like candy.
Yeah. Okay. Like, wait a second.
And they were all
that was from a different
themed.
That's a different from a different country, right? That's like German,
no,
isn't
no,
it?
No, it was American.
You're thinking of Kinder Eggs.
Kinder Eggs. Yeah.
It's the Disney Magic Ball.
They were only around for what 3 years?
Oh.
5 years.
Is that like a Cadbury egg?
Yeah,
the cream
it
egg.
Is, but they had like the fortune teller like 8-ball, and you bought them when you were like you know in the line at the register or whatever. They had them over there, and people would collect them because they had all these different kinds. And
yeah,
you guys don't remember those?
No,
it sounds like a fortune
those.
Cookie.
I gotcha.
It kind of was. It was like a chocolate,
which blows me. Like what? China has been around Chinese culture for 4,000 years. That's right. The cookie they came up with.
Yeah,
what can we put in the middle? Fudge? No, paper. We want to put.
We want to put
reading materials.
I thought the fortune cookie was actually
I think fortune cookie is American. No, it's not.
Are you telling me there's no?
No,
you telling me there was never a General So? Because I will. He was clearly a
General
leader.
So.
I know that there's some that are made by American companies because I saw a box of them at GFS.
Really?
GFS groceries when we were shopping.
Love getting weird. I would make hateful fortunes if I had a Chinese restaurant just to trip people up. But I'm
hateful fortunes.
Hateful fortunes, you know, or just dumb things. Like I've gotten one before. That said, a nice cake is waiting for you, which I just think that's interesting, mm-hmm. like out there.
Yeah.
My buddy got one, and I swear to you, it said, he kept it on his fridge. It said, your stupidity will be your downfall. It really said that.
Wow.
He kept it. And
do you believe
like,
in them?
Believe in fortune cookies?
Yes.
I don't know.
But you like to, right? I think everybody likes to.
There were people that went to my church though,
sure.
that thought it was like, that was wrong to open your fortune cookie.
Of course.
I don't know if anybody, did you ever know people
ding
like
dong,
that?
Ding dong, ding dong.
No, they were like, that's no, right. Don't do that. Don't like it's the oracle of truth or whatever. Like,
yeah,
don't.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's that one person that waits till everybody goes outside, and then they go back and scoop
they look
up
at
everybody's fortune
and they read it
and read
to themselves.
Them.
They're like, right. Hats are wasted on a man
now,
with no
head. Did anybody here ever do a Ouija board?
No, I was scared to death of that.
Yeah, I would never touch one.
Pooh's said when she was real young.
Yeah,
she did it, and it scared her to.
Oh,
did
you, man.
Do you want to tell them what happened?
Oh, my gosh. What happened, Freight?
I don't know if I remember.
It spelled out your name.
Oh.
No way.
Yeah, this is before she knew
really.
My dad.
That's just it's you or you're guiding it, right? But you're not supposed to push
no,
it, but
they,
your hand is
no,
on it.
They let
she
their
was,
hands
she
off
was
of
a
it,
little girl.
And it spelled out, it said
no.
Chris. Not kidding.
Without their hands on it?
Yeah.
You're supposed to put your hands on it. That's the rules. Isn't it?
Oh,
it's demonic,
have you
dude.
Seen paranormal activity?
I have
that,
seen
that. That stuff's well, freaky, man.
I think Heather has a story like that where
okay.
she said, who's she going to marry? And it was my name.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes. And she was married before
that's
me.
That's what happened to my mom.
Oh. She was married, you know, she had a...
Right.
I'm not going to be
she
able
had
to
another,
sleep tonight.
She man married man another man.
Oh, wow.
She married another man. She was married before she married me.
I wanted, when those paranormal activity... movies came out, I wanted to do like a trailer of like, you know, you hear a noise, you're like, what is that? And then there's someone in the house, and it's just like the branches brushing against the shutters, and they're like, normal activity.
Normal.
That's, that's good.
A knock on the door, it's just, you know, the UPS guy.
That.
Doorbell rings, who's that?
Yeah.
Oh, normal. normal activity.
And then,
they show like, you know, the picture of the audience watching it.
Oh, this is fine.
My friend Jeff, this really happened to him. This is my favorite story that he ever used to tell us. He worked with me at the movie theater. He was playing with the Ouija board with some friends. I was scared to death to do it, but he was telling me his story. And he says they were and they asked if Elvis was alive. This was 20 years ago when there were still the rumors like he might have. And he goes, I made it we all had our hands on it. He goes, I made it spell out, Jeff is Elvis. Which I thought was like the perfect thing to do.
That's awesome.
They were like,
it was probably just Jeff wears Levi's. That's what it was. The devil's horrible speller.
That'd be great.
That's the character.
There's your plot for me. Yeah.
There you go.
The devil's just a really bad speller. The Ouija board that makes typos.
That's right. Hail Santa. Yeah, I would never, ever do that. I just
had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day who loves horror movies. And she's really into spiritual warfare horror movies. And she's a believer, but she's fascinated by it.
What would that be?
Anything.
Like Exorcist?
Yeah.
The Conjuring and all those.
Demonic spirits. And I won't watch it because, like when you've actually had a demonic encounter, like, you just don't want to deal with it. Like, it's terrifying.
Yeah, like the book buyback program at college. That's a demonic encounter.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I think that's Satan actually started that business.
I'll give you $2.
I will give you 5 cents. I'll give you a nickel. Where else are you going to go?
Take it or leave it.
So she likes spiritual, what did you say? Spiritual.
Just all those kind of movies. She's fascinated by them. Yeah. And I was just like, no way. Nah. I just can't
A good, like, what kind of horror movies really get you guys? Like, what?
Not wanting to watch those because I believed in that stuff. So
anything,
I like slasher films. I was a slasher film guy.
I don't like scary movies.
No, I mean like they freak you out.
Yeah, those ones. Anything with like spirits and stuff. I didn't.
I don't like scary movies.
It's like leaves that to the imagination. It's just that whole. Yeah, I can't take it.
I always tell Susan I don't like them because they scare me.
Yeah. We used to have great. I used to love watching scary movies. Like, me and my brother were screamers.
Yeah.
Like, we went to see, is it the one with James Caan and Kathy Bates?
Misery.
Misery.
Yeah.
By Stephen King. Was it
Stephen King? Stephen King book that they
And
did.
We screamed. And we didn't know each other were screamers at horror movies.
When she hits his leg.
But she hits his leg, we're both like,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. No. Me and my brother are both in this theater with 300 people. No! Ho! Hey! We're just...
That's great.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean... Bobby's the one to go to a movie with, my friend Bobby.
Gosh. Oh, I've met him. He's amazing.
Oh, Tim! Hey! Oh, what'd that guy do? What did you see what he did?
Okay, so I saw one a couple
of
weeks
ago. He hit him with a hammer, Tim! Look at the side of that hammer. You can hold a hammer. You can probably hit the hammer hard, too.
There are people in your life, though. They're your friends, and you're like, oh, they're great. This is fun. That you don't know that they're the movie people that can't stop talking in the movie, and they don't know it.
Yes.
Evan, that travels with me some, he's a little like that.
Really?
He doesn't talk as much, but he laughs so loud.
Yeah, he does have a loud laugh.
He's a very boisterous, like, if something catches him funny, it's on.
So, is he one of these guys where, I have a friend, too, where there's no transition with a laugh, it just goes right to 10?
Right.
Like, you know, like, ha! There's no, like that. Most people are like, some people are like, ha! They're like, straight to 10.
Straight to 10.
Like, whoa, dude.
Well, and the other thing about movies, too, like, me and you talked about this, about people that are raised in the South or the Midwest, they have we're so self-aware, and we apologize for everything, that when you meet somebody that has, like, for instance, in a movie theater, no inside voice, they don't understand that, like, oh, the movie's starting. There's other people. They're just like, you got any more popcorn? They're still in. It's like the movie's just for them.
Right.
I don't understand those people because I feel I'm ashamed on their behalf. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, this is good.
That's why all my friends call me dad, because I'm the only one in my friend group that's like, hey, guys, maybe we should, I don't know, respect the other human beings in the room.
You shout them down.
They're like, oh, okay, Caleb. All right. So we can't have any fun. Okay, dad. All right.
I'm like, well, then we should have stayed home and watched this movie.
Right.
And that turns into a big thing.
I don't really, because I don't hear a lot of people talking. I mean, that rarely happens. Yeah. It's the candy wrapper people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a candy in a just go into a quick, don't
like a Band-Aid.
I mean, Heather and I were at a movie one time. This lady was doing it probably 30 minutes straight. 30, and we're just like, what?
Give me that. Let me open
the
it.
The H are you doing?
The H. I was at a movie a few weeks ago, and somebody, it was packed. It was some new movie. I don't remember what it was. And it was a late showing. So it was like a midnight release. And I heard something spill up at like the top, and it was like, and then there was a couple seconds of delay, and it was just like,
oh, yeah.
And somebody had spilled like M&Ms, and they started skipping down every step, and then everybody started cracking up.
That's
it was
amazing.
A good 2 minutes,
oh, you know, just
going under everybody's effect. Feet.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah. See,
it
if you had Smarties, they would have stopped. But now you have an M&Ms, they're gonna roll. They're gonna roll on you.
Necco wafer just lays down.
Necco wafer just bang like a coin. Like a coin.
Okay, so speaking of movies, I don't know if I even told you this, but I actually. Was cast in a small, tiny role in a movie that's coming out the day before Thanksgiving, and it's going to have a theatrical release. It's going to have, like, I think it's going to have 1,500 screens.
Dang.
It's a movie called Believe. It's a Christmas film. I thought it was going to be, like, a little Hallmark thing or whatever. It's going to be, like, made for TV. They got Sony, like, one of the Sony pictures, you know, they picked it up. It's going to be. And so I do some events with Date Night Comedy, and so they're going to, they said, well, we want all of our comics. So Jason Earls was cast in it. And they wrote this. I was going to be thug number one. And I don't know what I was supposed to do. I don't know. Punch a guy. And I had a line.
I could see you as a thug.
Right. But then I couldn't. I had a gig the night of the thug reading. The
Thuggery.
Whole, when they were going to tape the. So we wrote this other part for you. Townsperson one. And the movie, they changed the title of the movie. The movie is going to be called The Townsperson. And so I'm very excited.
Okay. I was so good.
Yeah, I was so good. They're like, this guy's got it. But I ask, like, so I'm there on set all day. You did this with the Kirk Cameron movies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's a grind.
Yeah.
You're there all to just do your one, or, you know, you had more lines. I had one line.
How many people were in the crew?
It was probably 100 people that were, I mean, and then we had all these extras.
Yeah.
There's a courtroom scene that I'm standing in the back of, and I'm kind of like getting upset. That's like to set the stage for my character.
Yeah.
And then I'm outside and I ask the guy for a job. Everybody's lost their job in the town. It's a factory town. So I'm like, oh, I can't remember the guy's name. Mr. Peterson, could you give me a job? It's one of those kind of, so, could you give me a job?
Is that your line?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mr. Peterson, could you give
our
me a job?
Our jobs are going to the dang Chinese.
Right.
Whoa, hey.
Was that the one? Was that the one?
Hey, Johnny, could you take one more time and maybe not be so racist? Can you dial it down?
Johnny, there's nothing about a Chinese thing in the script.
Johnny, I just thought I'd add my own flavor
just
to it.
Just stick to the script, Johnny. You have one line.
was Michael O'Brien in that one?
No, I don't think
Filipino
so.
Filipinos smell funny. Whoa, cut. Cut.
Wait a second.
Hey,
Johnny, what are you doing?
So wait a second. What's it called?
Trailers out?
It's called Believe. It's Believe, I think, a Christmas movie.
Are
Believe.
The trailers out now and it
they
shows
are,
like
just,
things on fire?
Yes.
Like the city on fire?
I think so. We just started sharing it out on
the Is it about a nativity scene and... taking it down the city hall.
Something like that. It's kind of like the Christmas pageant in a small town. Devil's Night. Every year they burn the city on Christmas Eve. No.
Oh, yeah.
It should be fun. It's a very heartwarming
That's
family
great.
Kind of film.
That's
but
great.
I didn't know that it was had such a wide release they were aiming for. And evidently, it's
1,500 theaters?
It's going to be, at least they said. So I don't know.
That's great.
So and I found out, I thought, well, they're going to, my line. I said it four or five times. They're like, cut, Johnny. And then, you know, so.
Wait, what was your line again?
It's like, Mr. Peterson. I can't remember the guy's name. I think it's Mr. Peterson.
Yeah.
Mr. Peterson, could you give me a job? Something like that. So, I mean, I'm dialing it in. I know my motivation. Okay?
Yeah.
I know what I'm there to.
But you're not sure of the line. You
but
said
the
there's
guy,
something
it
like
a moving
that.
Shot. He's walking from the courtroom, and, like, we mob him, and, like, five or six people ask him for a job at once, and he's, like, the guy who's... And so... The guy on the rig, have you ever done the motion here where the guy's got the arm thing? It's a steady cam. It's heavy.
It's heavy.
And he clicks it on, and it was near the end of the shooting day. Yeah. This guy is like
sweating.
Getting ready to go take 8 Advil and go to bed.
Yeah. They actually have usually have a harness for the whole body. I mean, there's like a back brace and a harness. I mean, you got to.
So we shot it like 10 times, and each time he was like, all right, hook me up. And they'd slap it on. He'd be like, no! And then he would
now
because it hurts.
And the reason they have that is because it will stay steady. It's a steady cam, so you won't have any movement. But you can move around and walk around. And
see, this was a walking scene, like very Aaron Sorkin, West Wing. As we walk, we talk. And so a couple times I would not be fast enough to get inside, you know, to get the Yeah. But we got it done. But it was a cool experience. But I thought, well, they'll cut me out. It was just being nice to me.
Yeah.
And then they told me like a few weeks ago, they're like, "You're in, man."
I was really?
Like, so I'm going to be on the.
That's great.
I have no. It'll be funny. I like the idea of promoting it, and then people being like, "He had one line." Like I don't know.
I would just watch it to see your one line. I don't care.
Just keep fast forwarding until you see Johnny on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By digitally. Yeah. So question.
IMDb.
I got. I'm a SAG guy now. I got paid like from Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
It was like $650 or whatever.
What?
Like,
so
here's he was my, like, yeah. He's like, if you get
that's awesome.
If you get one more role within the calendar year or something, you're eligible for like SAG insurance. You have to work a certain amount of times with speaking roles that are not extra parts.
No.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
Do you like if you wouldn't have actually gotten placed in the film?
Right.
Would you have still received a check?
I still would have gotten the check. No, they gave me the check that day, or they mailed it right after. But if they cut you out, then yeah, it takes away your the idea that you can count that towards your the IMDb thing.
Do you want to do more acting?
I like the idea of it, and I know you got kind of into it. You kind of put your toe. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I took 6 months of acting lessons. Yeah. I'm glad I did.
When I write something that's like a sketch or something, because I used to do a bunch of videos for my church, and then I would go to like, well, who can deliver this line? I would always end up being like, I know what I know the beats of this. I want to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would just rather I know the comedic flow of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if I have like some aptitude for it. I think he just threw me a bone and said, hey, we'll give you a line. Your town's one.
We need to do more video stuff on the road.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah.
Just dumb little things.
Should.
And just try it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the equipment. What do you think?
We have the technology.
I don't know anything about video.
But
we can. I mean, I got my iPhone. What do you mean video stuff?
Like just sketch stuff, like a little...
sketch stuff?
One-off.
Yeah.
Even like Vines or something that would be a full, like, rotating.
Vines or even... We talked about promoting the podcast with different characters that are on the podcast.
We should bring Levi on the road and he can...
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know anything about this.
So. Yeah, because...
I can learn, but...
I mean, there's lighting issues and things like that.
Yeah.
Continuity issues and all that kind of stuff.
Levi's really good with that stuff, too.
He is really good. And we're going to make some promos for the podcast. And yeah,
sorry. Are you good?
Did you like your experience with the Kirk Cameron movie? Like, what was that like for you?
I did. It was. I was really nervous because I was expecting 100 people crew, but it was just like it was the director, the writer, and the guy holding the camera.
There's one camera,
cameraman, and sound man. So it was just like 4 or 5 people.
Okay.
So it was really a great way to get involved to kind of get my feet wet.
Yeah.
I would do it again in a heartbeat. Kirk is an amazing person.
Well, he wrote that part with you in mind, I think, didn't he?
Well, I think, they had somebody back out, but came to a show and he asked me, his wife, Chelsea, just said, asked him to do it.
Because I remember I was at a men's event for like Lifeway and the Kendrick brothers were there and they do all the Christian films.
Yeah.
And so they were talking about you. You hadn't started filming yet, but I remember you had to kind of mention to me that it may happen.
Yeah.
And they were saying to you, they were telling somebody else about it. They were like, Kirk's next movie is blah, blah, blah. It's going to be about baseball. It's kind of a cool family film. And he goes, guess who's playing his brother? Tim Hawkins. And everybody was like so excited.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, everybody that was there was
perfect. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was, I think it's encouraging because you get the feeling that, if you get a team of people that know what they're doing with sound and everything, I think it'd be a blast. I mean, one of my ideas is I still want to do a disc golf movie called Breaking the Chains.
Patent pending.
Like it. You're a copyright.
Yeah, maybe we
it's like the Caddyshack for disc golf.
Right. And you'd be like the rebel Dangerfield character wearing the huge red slacks or something.
I was actually
this guy's an outlaw.
Yeah.
I was out disc golfing with some of my buddies the other day, and one of my friends is really into it. Like, he just went to Kansas City for a tournament, and I talked to him about it, and he said that if you need any, like legitimate like disc golf tips or tricks or facts, like
really
he would love to help you out.
Really,
I mean, he knows everything
to be
to
like
know
a
about
consult- like an advisor, yeah. like a consultant.
He was like, dude, please make that movie. I would love that.
Wait, cut.
All right, nobody throws a disc like that.
No way he'd use a 7 there.
I just love that idea.
They're numbered like for distance and stuff. They use like
and weights. Yeah, the weights.
My
and
buddies
stuff.
Walk around with about 30 discs in a bag.
My buddy Layman, Dave Layman, he has about 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They walk around the course, and I have like my three, my beginner ones. I just love that idea of that mangly caveman looking dude that lives in the woods. That's yeah. just got who a comes ridiculous out and he's throw. Like the, can he's throw like, like, you know, 300 like yards or something.
Yoda. It's like the Yoda this. Of, he's of like, frisbee
was,
golf.
I thought it was a legend. Right. Like, and he knows wisdom. He is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and he just comes out and he has the throw, you know, the yeah. throw that yeah. only he knows.
He sits in like a lotus position around a fire and like the disc just hovers. He's levitating.
Or he's just spinning it on his finger, just sitting on a limb.
He practices by throwing from the trees. Just like ching, right. ching, ching, ching.
Or just knocking off birds off of their perch.
He's hunting. That's
yeah.
how he
hunts. Yeah, he hunts with his disc.
You see like the little hummingbird on like a spit the next scene.
It's amazing. There's plenty of courses in St. Louis to shoot at, too.
And
there's a bunch yeah. of them.
And it's like you don't have to ask. I mean, you wouldn't. Right. I don't think you yeah. have to ask anybody.
Have you been to Quail Ridge?
Yeah. That's my favorite place.
Yeah.
Because then you have different characters. Like, because you always come across these guys who are just, you know, they're smoking weed.
Yeah.
They're just smoking weed. And, you know, there's the guys who got the beer, guys who got, you know.
Yeah.
One guy's got the stereo in his bag. He's just, you know, some
those
Leonard Skinner song.
They have just. They've spent hundreds on their bags and their discs, yeah. and it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
But I mean, I guess you don't have to pay to play. So if you're going to spend your money,
though,
you might as well.
That, the whole
yeah,
idea
cheap, it doesn't
was
take
like,
too much
a
time.
Cheap hobby, and then they found a way to make it. They monetized it somehow. Still, mm-hmm. You still can spend a lot of money on it to be great at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, my good buddies, exercise. They hand built practice baskets that they throw with in their house that they putt with at
you
their
know
house.
What'd be funny? One of the characters could be like they have a surfboard shaper. He had a disc shaper, like a guy who, you know, hey, come on over here.
It's like works out of a shed, he's like a shed yeah. in his backyard.
But he shapes the disc. You know, he could be the.
It's got like a router table. Here's your problem.
But anyway, yeah, that's one of my ideas for a movie. But I do think we should, you know, I should. I know you guys. Mm-hmm. You guys have always been, you know, supportive of what I want to do. I appreciate that. I don't tell you that a lot.
So here's a question, and you don't have to be open about it if you want to keep it a secret, and I can cut this. But is that what you want your next project to be, is a movie? Instead of a DVD? Instead of a live DVD like we've done?
Oh,
like in 2 years, you want to do movie?
You know what? It's we got to do it. We got to do some kind of movie. We have to.
Or we've toyed around with the idea of doing doing all music.
Yeah, we
like a concert.
I think the next DVD, there's a good chance it'll be I'll have a band and we'll just do music. You
that
being
be
in the
so
band,
fun. Yeah. That would be so fun.
Drummer,
play the cowbell.
Cowbell.
We'll feature the cowbell in every song. Freight will come out with his afro.
You should play like this. Play the saw. Like
the washboard.
Like Al Fike used to do.
I think that'd be so
What's
fun.
That thing where you wave your hand over the what is that called?
Oh,
the weird what is that called?
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called.
The start like wah, wah, wah. You can move your hand closer to the little antenna thing.
Ouija board? I don't know.
Dang it, what is that called?
I don't know what it's called.
That'd be amazing. Maybe, but yeah. It'd be amazing to learn how to play that yeah. and use it in the show somewhere.
I think it would be fun to do that show at like some really nice theater, like similar mm-hmm. to the one in like yes. Paducah.
Yeah.
Just like a really cool performance theater.
Yeah. Well, the new song I'm working on, I'm really excited about.
I can't wait.
I so love putting solos together.
Is it?
I think
I
put together my best solo.
Really?
Yes. It's a country picking Vince Gill kind of thing.
Is that what you're working on in the back today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicken picking.
Dang. Chicken picking. You like dang chicken picking, dude. Johnny?
Yeah, yeah.
You got a telly.
It was.
Yeah, and you're getting good at it, too, man. You sound like Jerry Reed back
well,
there.
Well, you know, I just try to practice a little bit every day, you know?
Reed, that's tall cotton right
Jerry
there.
Jerry Reed was amazing.
That's tall cotton.
I wish.
That's
I
quite
wish.
A compliment.
Those guys.
I pick around.
There's nothing like.
Well, I remember you were learning the eastbound when you first started
picking
that
way. Eastbound and down. Up and dragging.
Well, you were learning the eastbound and down, like. And then Junior. You kept playing it. Again, and it again was like and the again. Whole week, and you were like, bang, 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 bang. And I was like, my book's like right there.
So now it's Chinese. What else was it? What was the other thing I was into?
The harmonica.
Chinese harmonica and Jerry Reed solos.
Yeah, that was, man.
Yeah.
You're a man of many parts. I like it.
Yeah. I want to make the most of, like, now I kind of want to, I do want to learn piano and use more of it in the show too.
You know what I think about sometimes when I'm on the road with you is like, you started out and you're just like me. Like when I travel on dates, like I'll carry tubs of merch or whatever. Mm-hmm. I have an assistant now that I travel with some, but it's like.
With Evan?
Yeah, with Evan. But he helps me drive some. But like before that, and on dates where I go myself, it's just like, it's you. And now it's like, you have so many people that kind of handle things. Mm-hmm. And you can go just be creative. And
yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
But I know you've told me some stories like on the road of like getting lost. I remember you said like one of the first California dates you took, and it was just like maps. It was no GPS or whatever. Uh-huh. And you called Todd and you were like, I don't know where the road is, and Todd said something like, it's like a Spanish name. Yeah. The road's a Spanish name. Yeah,
we're in Southern California, like Orange County. Every road, every street is Las Portatos.
Yeah.
Cortato, McDonald's, like, Los Jalamitos. Every road. And I got Todd, I'm lost and all that.
But like the stress.
I think it's a Spanish name. Yeah, that's what it is. Spanish. So, La Espanol. Bye. Call me back if you need me. That's my brother's voice. Call me back if you need me. Beautiful. You have 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Quickly. In your folder, you will see the name of the venue, the time you're supposed to be there, some surrounding restaurants, and Los Bojantos.
Whatever. Assembly of God.
Importante.
You guys could not be
muy
more
importante.
Opposite.
What?
You guys could not be more opposite.
Well, we intersect in a lot of ways, but yeah, I mean, my brother and I, who is my manager, everybody. We took the disc profile thing, and it's totally, right. It is totally the opposite.
It's opposite side.
It's mirrored.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fun to be around. And he's.
For instance. Just for instance.
Just so many walls. Just saying. What are you doing, Todd? Putting bricks up.
I'm a bridge builder, but whatever. And whatever your bag is. But no, it makes a difference. Like, I got delayed. Okay. We were going to Dallas. I had a gig at a camp an hour and a half away from the Dallas where I was landing, Dallas airport where I was landing. We get delayed because the hose they're fueling the plane with came loose and sprayed jet fuel all over the back of the plane, and then the guy comes on the comm. We're like, why haven't we taken off yet? And he goes, yeah. Now normally I like hearing a southern accent, it's very comforting.
Yeah.
But when it's your pilot, he's like, yeah, they sprayed the jet fuel all over the back of the plane. He says this. He goes, they gotta wash it off with soap and water. He said, wash it off. You don't want to hear wash.
No, you don't.
From your pilot ever. You don't want to hear wash or we're coming in hot. Either of those two things. So then we were delayed like 2 hours, and I realized I'm going to barely make it to the airport in time to jump in my rental car and get to Waxahachie or wherever I was going to this camp. So I'm gunning it. Curry's with me. We're gunning it in this car, and I tell them, I'll be there right as I'm supposed to walk on stage. You're going to have to delay. 900 campers are waiting for me at this youth camp. So we're gunning this, and then this guy's like, I'm standing outside. You'll see me take the second left on the gravel road. And he's standing there holding his phone.
Right.
And then they're in a gym waiting on me up this hill. So he meets me, opens my door for me. So I'm like, all right. I jump out, grab the suitcases full of merch. We roll up this grass hill, go in the thing. And literally, as I walk in with my guitar still in the case, they go, Johnny W. And I unzip it as I'm walking and grab my, and I walk on.
Mm-hmm.
We finish the show. Curry's selling some merch. He set it up while I was doing my gig.
Yeah,
she's setting up the tables. Mm-hmm. So we sell some merch, and then I go, well, I guess we'll go check in the hotel now because we didn't have time to get, you know, checked in. She's like, okay, cool. She goes, I go, you got the keys, right? And she goes, you may have taken them with you on stage. You were walking in. I go, and I look, they're not on stage. I go, I bet I dropped them when I was on that hill. I go, this is embarrassing. These campers are kind of all flooded back to their cabins now. And I'm walking on this hill looking on the ground for my keys. And then I hear the sound of the car still running. It had been running.
You just jumped out
the entire time of my show.
Oh my god!
Unlocked at a camp full of high schoolers. That's the dumbest thing I think I've ever done in a hurry. That's the kind of stuff that happens when you're by yourself, though.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
You're just out there. Yeah. You're just like, oh, turns out I'm a moron.
Yeah, yeah. That's that was awesome. You talk about Bog Springs, like the Arkansas camp.
Yeah, that it was like that.
That's one of those kind of deals.
It is. You just
There's
show
just
up
nothing
and go
to do.
Up.
There's just nothing. You're in a so-called cabin, but no, that's great. So the pilot voice is, he said wash.
He said wash. He goes, yeah, they got some jet fuel on the back end of the plane, and we're going to have to, we got to wash it off with soap and water. I was like, oh, no.
Well, at least it didn't sound like Stephen Hawking, like, hello, New York, we're experiencing difficult day. I hope you give us some time to wash with soap and water. Me will be making up soon. Our flight should be 2 hours, 20 minutes long.
What was that?
No. No.
Is it the sign off?
We have peanuts for you to eat. Now I'm turning into something else.
It's like Yakov Smirnoff.
I know. Spanish. A little, yeah. So when is when's the new song going
to
be ready?
I would like to have it done in the next couple weeks.
Cool. Nice.
Yes, and get it into the circulation.
In the new show.
Into the new show. Let's get that done in the next couple. Let's do it. I think once Aaron gets fire under him, he'll do it.
Yeah.
So before we go, we need to. You said you wanted to mention Veritas. What do you?
Yeah, We started playing these amazing guitars called Veritas guitars. Casey is the owner and builder for Veritas. They're based out of Vancouver, Washington. And I heard about them just through Instagram, social media, and they are the best guitars I've ever played. And
my White Hollow Body is especially, it's just wonderful. I've played it for a few weeks now, and it's, they are stellar.
Yeah, they just...
Amazing how young this guy is, and he's making this kind of stuff.
They just feel right. They just feel like a guitar should feel. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
I do.
So we got two of them. Go on VeritasGuitars.com if you want to check them out. They're just beautiful. Even if you're not a guitar person, they're beautiful, beautiful pieces of art. I think you'll be fascinated by the craftsmanship. And, they're awesome. Great company to work with. And Tim actually played them for our new DVD. That's all he played. And we didn't even do acoustic on this DVD.
Really? Okay. I guess not.
No.
We just guess not, huh?
All electric.
All right.
We have the Portlander model, which is like a Tele style, a little more rock and roll Tele, with humbuckers. And then we did we got what they call their 503, which is similar to like a Gibson 335. It's a hollow body with like a thinner body profile. So it's not as annoying. They're just beautiful. The 503, we have pictures on our Instagram, so you guys can go look at it, but it's white and gold. Just so pretty. So pretty.
Beautiful.
And
That's what you want to play, man. You want to play something beautiful. Yeah.
Oh. They're awesome. And we also play McPherson acoustics.
Mm-hmm.
And right now,
great guitar.
You're playing their Kevin Michael Carbon
Fiber.
Kevin Michael Carbon, yeah.
We used it tonight for travel. The Bacon song. Bacon.
Bacon. That's right. That worked well tonight. I think we're starting to get a new thing.
We got one more run in it tomorrow. Yeah.
You want to do anything different? I mean,
mix it up. We may mix it up tomorrow.
Okay, whatever you want to do, man.
Well, I think we may end on the camper because I think it's a bigger
happy cat.
It's a bigger ovation like that. I can get off on a bigger.
There you go.
Can I speak into
there
that?
There you go.
Yeah.
So I thought that the last song that you guys did together was amazing. But you needed to like crash it out more. Like you needed to do like a trash can strum because it just kind of ended and then it was like, okay.
I agree.
Yeah. That's where you clap.
It's
more
too subtle. Yeah.
Yeah.
People loved it, but it needs to have like a big end.
So come up with just a bigger ending and,
yeah.
But do whatever order you want to do.
Yeah. No, it's fun though. Yeah. I love the idea of doing that in the middle.
Yeah. Fun. I mean, Tweet Song is great. It's just we've done it for so long.
Right,
it's just, and we may come back to it. But I think that is a good time for once it's set up as this, we're just working on something, then we can take advantage of that and just throw some songs out. Because I'm sure you have snippets. I got some snippets, too, that just I need to dig in and look at it. So that's cool. Before we go, too, I also want to – we don't have any sponsors yet.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we're going to start, I think, doing that.
Todd's working on it right now. He's called me on a few.
So we're deciding on some sponsorships for the podcast, which is awesome.
Right.
Because that means people are downloading and listening, and we love it, and thank you so much. But I want to make a quick plug here for some friends of mine that we got together with recently. We haven't seen them in a while. They are the Pictons, Marlene and Paul Picton. From Cincinnati, and we were in Cincinnati recently and got a chance to go by and see them. They have a chocolate shop that is stellar. It's called Maverick Chocolate
company. So go, you can go to maverickchocolate.com. And this is kind of more of an experiment with listeners, just to see, you know, if you like it. We loved it. These people make amazing chocolates. They sent me a box of it, and I brought some for you guys, but I ate most of it. So it's gone. They have one called...
That's how good they are.
They have a dark chocolate called Fahrenheit 513. It's got a... We were talking about spices, but that's got a hot kick to it. They've got Ecuador chocolate, Morapong dark chocolate. It's beautiful. One of my favorites that I ate all of, sorry. One of my favorites, it's called Lemon Lavender White Chocolate. It's delicious. Go to maverickchocolate.com. You can get this. And I want you guys, Frey, can you try this right now? It's a new special edition Maverick. It's a pumpkin spice chocolate.
Oh, yeah, for the fall.
I wanted him to call it Yoga Pants.
Pumpkin spice.
Because it's pumpkin spice, you know, pumpkin spice latte. That's the deal. Try it.
Jason, you want a piece?
Sure.
All right. Isn't that good? Folks, you need to go to Maverick Chocolate. Get you some chocolate online. They'll send it to you.
It's kind of like eating a piece of pumpkin pie.
Isn't that nice? Mm. Johnny,
everything's pumpkin now. The drinks,
cheese?
The pumpkin. Oh, my gosh.
But I had a pumpkin.
Right. Waffle. One. Can you give him?
Our pumpkin.
Oh, yeah, here.
Take it. What was it? I had pumpkin communion. Waffle the other day.
There you go.
Egg and I, it was amazing.
But anyway, it's an award-winning chocolate, Maverick Chocolate. Go get you some.
What award did they win?
Enjoy it. It is from, they have this huge book, and they give you like, what do you call it? Like they have four chocolate, like five
potatoes.
Chocolate beans, and they got four chocolate beans out of five chocolate cocoa beans.
That's big.
Four out of five.
And, that's big. And the cocoa beans are more prominent than the stars. Like in the rating mm-hmm. scale, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah. So if it was Freight, I would give him five cocoa beans.
Freight. Five cocoa beans.
That's cool. Or little pumpkins, because that's his pumpkin chocolate. The little pumpkins like Caleb had.
That's right.
Pumpkin.
But if you go to Maverick, everybody, go get the, you have to get white lavender at least. They have the pumpkin spice, and then there's another one called Prohibition, which is awesome, which is a chocolate with, I think, a little bit of Kentucky bourbon in there.
Did you already eat that one, too?
Huh?
I didn't eat nothing. I like chocolate. It's delicious. I like it in my tummy. It's nice.
But anyway, are we good? We're good?
Yeah.
I'm burning up in here. We got to turn
the air back on.
Can you turn the air back on? Thanks, Jeez. Hey, Jason, was that the first time we're going to have him on?
Jason!
That was a big
one. Jason!
He killed it. That was
he
great.
Did. He did kill it. And you need to have Lisa make some stuff for us. So, Freight Train, Cheese Man, Johnny W. Always love having Johnny
w
on the show.
The
he's a great guest.
To be on the Rock Show bus.
Caleb. Beauty beard. I'm going to start growing my beard. Maybe we should do pictures and we'll put them like up.
I was going to say we should do a photo every day. Every day I'll come over to your house at 6 in the morning and we'll take a photo in the mirror.
You're lost.
A side by side and we'll do one of those
Okay, yeah. Wait, let me check my Ouija board. Oh, it says no. No, you're not.
Signs point to no.
Signs point to no.
That was the sarcastic face. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. No.
All right.
Hey,
all right, everybody. Thanks for listening and check you later.
Peace.
Ow.